T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for the John Chuckery Show.
Are you ready?
Sports talk in the ATL. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
No. You insulted him a little bit. A little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Call or text John now at 404-741-0929. Live from the Kia Studios, it's John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For life, back in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuckery today, hanging out with you until 1 o'clock, flying solo today. I guess Randy's on another vacation or something, so he's kind of like him and Brian. Never know who's going to be here one weekend to the next, you know?
He's getting worse than me, though.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's got a whole regimented schedule. So, but hey, listen, I'm always here with you. How's come when we didn't have to work and make that trek, it was 85 degrees, and then as soon as it's time to start walking to the building of death, Nakatomi Towers, it's another 35 degrees out there. Lordy. Hey, we're streaming online. You'll be able to go to 929thegame.com. You can listen to us live or also catch replays of the show. Brian, as he wants to get a good grade, I'll put some things up there for you. Download your radio.com app. That way you can listen to us live local on any device that you've got. Social media, you check all of it out. It's at 929 The Game. That is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Match, Farmers, Farmers Gathering. We'll always try to come up with something new for the Farmers website. So, yeah, you know, whatever. Plenty of Fish. It's all Tinder, Grindr, Bumble. It's all out there at 929 The Game. I'm on Twitter. You can follow along with me at JMCH316. I tweeted out last night. Had the they don't call it the daddy-daughter dance. It's they have to be politically correct now, so it is a Valentine's dance. And nothing says Friday night, Brian, like walking into the school cafeteria, hundreds of kids. It was like a sellout, by the way. They actually cut off. You had to get tickets earlier in the week, and they actually were at full capacity. It's like hundreds of kids, music's blaring. And then, you know, like these kids, when they see, as soon as they see their friends, they run up and they just start yelling and screaming at, that's my, like my daughter's got all these little group of friends. And every time they'd see somebody new, they'd just like run up and start screaming with one another. And so like my eardrums were just like bleeding after about 7 minutes of that going on. And I think literally I would probably tell you, I'd probably put the over under at probably 5 or 6 songs that I knew that they played. You know, they were actually taking some requests. Now, they did not play Baby Shark, thank goodness. They didn't play that. But, they were playing like, what'd they play? They played Gangnam Style. They played the Cotton Eye Joe stupid song. They had some of the newer stuff. Most of the time I'm sitting there and just like rubbing my head, you know, wishing they put some Bee Gees on or, you know. Something, you know.
Did you get out there, though? You broke it down?
No. My daughter, I saw her for probably 6 or 7 minutes total. Like, as soon as she got there, she ran into her little girlfriends. And, you know, and they're all dressed up and everybody looked all cute. But they're all running around. And, like, they literally are not in one spot for more than, like, 7 seconds at a time. And then they'd find somebody else. And so you're just kind of like, I'm just literally just like, you know, like all the parents were just kind of hanging out and they're just running circles like they're doing laps in the cafeteria in school.
So you were like an Uber driver. You were the chauffeur for the night.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, pretty much it's, you know, she wanted to go and have some fun. And it was fine. I mean, it was fun. It was good time. So you got to do that daddy duty every now and again. And it won't last long. You know, there'll be a time when she won't even want daddy around. So that's what you have to put up with. So lots to get into today. Steve Ashburner is going to join us from NBA.com. as a trade deadline has come and gone. I don't know what the Hawks were doing. I literally don't even understand the moves that the Hawks were making. Trade for Shelvin Mack to cut him. I mean, I get the whole – I mean, NBA trades anymore just for contracts. You're not even trying to improve your team. You're just trying to find what dead contract can I get out of the way, you know, to have money to go into next season. So if you can explain to me what the Hawks were doing, fine. All right. I don't even understand what the point or purpose was of any of that going on. But we'll talk to him and get his thoughts about it. This Hawks team is playing a lot better, actually. They've been pretty good over this last about, 20-game stretch. So we will hear from him. But, obviously, and I'm going to save the heavy Falcons talk for tomorrow. We got you from 10 to 1 tomorrow. I got you from 9 to 1 today. But I'm going to save the heavy Falcons talk for tomorrow because, obviously, it was a week of purging for the Atlanta Falcons roster with Alford being cut, Matt Bryant, I think, surprisingly, being cut, and Brooks Reed being cut as well. No surprise there. And Alford, I don't think, was really that much of a surprise. And like I said, we'll get into the depth of all that. But I will say one thing I did hear, and I thought about getting Brian to pull the clip, but I won't. I listened to our morning show for a few minutes the other day after the Matt Bryant cut and all that kind of stuff. And Hugh brought up the idea of, he didn't want to say rebuilding, and he talked about retooling and stuff like that. Well, understand, every NFL team every year, including the Patriots and everybody else, has to retool their roster. Guys are going to come and go. Contracts come and go. You have to make financial decisions on certain guys. It happens. I mean, think about how the Patriots operate their business as they celebrated another Super Bowl here. So it's not a matter of changing up your roster. But what kind of scares me a little bit, and I'm not going to say Hugh was implying this per se, but there almost seems to be this kind of sense of media of maybe there's a different expectations for the Falcons this year. And that nothing could be further from the truth. There better not be any media guys who are going to talk about anything less than Super Bowl or bust for the Atlanta Falcons. There is no difference between the expectation in my mind going into this season than there was going into last year or the year before. Coming off the Super Bowl year, this is all about Super Bowl or bust. You are in a, and I hate that term window, but the reality is that you can no longer afford to waste any more prime years of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. You don't know how long. Now, obviously, quarterbacks in the NFL, and we just saw the guy at, 45 years old or whatever Brady is, 40-whatever years old, win another Super Bowl. But he's different. I don't like to compare anything to the Patriots because they're different in everything. Yes, everybody wants to be the Patriots. But when you have the best quarterback and the best coach, starting with those two things, that's a lot for every organization to overcome. I was just listening to Dan's little soliloquy. Can't take anything away from Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. You can't dumb your way to 6 Super Bowl wins, right? I mean, you can't dumb your way to 9 Super Bowls. Like, more than just a coach. Yeah, he's got the best coach ever in the NFL, ever. He has the best defensive mind ever. They can win because they don't have to have personnel. That's what I say about our Falcons. We can win because we can out-personnel a lot of people, which is a credit to what Dan and Thomas do, but if you have to go out-scheme, we don't do that. See, that guy on the sideline gives you an advantage every game day. That's the difference, is that whatever Bill does Monday through Saturday, it doesn't matter because he's so much better than everybody on Sunday. His game plan and preparation and what he does to get his guys to execute is beyond, there's nobody else like him out there. But my point to all this rambling is that I don't want to hear anybody in the media, and Randy, I've talked a little bit about this, I don't want to hear anybody, any lowering of any expectations or holding this franchise or this team any less accountable. I think we all believe that Dan Quinn is on the hot seat, and if things don't go well, that Dan may not be here next year. And we're going to talk a little bit about D-Led had an article where he interviewed Arthur Blank, and I thought there were a couple of interesting things about it. So a little bit later on the show, we're going to go over what he had to say, and it actually kind of made me pause just a second or two when I read some of that stuff. But I don't want there to be any sort of idea that the expectation should be Super Bowl or bust, and that's what this franchise and that's what this team and coaching staff and general manager and owner of this franchise should be held to that standard. You saw what Atlanta United did in being able to capture the minds and imagination of the city and deliver a championship to this city. That's time for the Falcons to get that done now, too. Falcons are in the best place that their franchise has ever been in. The franchise has never been in a better place. With the personnel, with kind of what the state of the franchise is, this is where you got to deliver. And I know a lot of things have to go right and a lot of things have to go well. And probably realistically, the Falcons won't be favored to win their division. But it doesn't matter. If you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and you supposedly have, you know, one of the better coaches that a lot of people tell you in the league, or, you know, a guy who, you know, a couple of years ago had tons of cachet as the hot new thing. And, you know, if we're going to iron sharpen iron and have high Hunger Games indexes and the Bears going to be loose, then it's time to deliver. So, you know, you want to throw around words like retooling or, you know, whatever out there, but make no mistake about it. It's Super Bowl or bust for this franchise. There should be nobody, whether internally, you know, or externally, media, within the Falcons, fans, that should be satisfied with anything less than Super Bowl or bust for this franchise. You know, if the Saints and the Rams and the Eagles can figure out getting back to the Super Bowl and getting there or winning the Super Bowl, then this franchise has to figure it out. Because it does have a lot of pieces. You know, no matter whether Matt Bryan is here or not here, yeah, those are some big losses. I get that. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to have a coach that matters, and you have your quarterback. And you saw the Patriots, as long as they have those two things in place, as long as you have your coach and as long as you have your quarterback, you can do a lot in the NFL. You can be really good. There's a reason why the Saints have been as good as well. When you've got the best play caller in the NFL and you've got Drew Brees, you can mask a lot of things. Doesn't mean it always works out. Doesn't mean it always goes the way that you want. But you can mask a lot of things when you have the coach and the quarterback. We're supposed to be one of those franchises that has that. We're supposed to be one of those teams that we have the quarterback and coach. Okay? Now you have to go deliver because you've got the other pieces that go along with it. I'm excited for the offseason. I'm excited for free agency. I'm excited for the draft. Obviously, Randy and I will get hot and heavy into the draft as it you know, gets a lot closer. And I think we give you a really good analysis and breakdown and put a lot of effort you know, into it. But, you know, don't hold this team less accountable. Just because they make moves like Robert Alford and Matt Bryan doesn't mean that you give this team any pass whatsoever. I'm not. And call me Falcon hater or, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to give this team a pass on anything. You know, what happened this past year is just ridiculous. All right, when we get back, believe it or not, there is football today. What place does the AAF have for the football fan? And is adding the XFL along with it going to start making too much football? We'll talk about that next. Chuckery in the Kia Studios flying solo this weekend. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9.
Lift me above the old routine. Make it nice.
Back in the Kia Studios, John Chuckery hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. Always a music theme. We'll get to all of that right before the top of the hour. I'm telling you, if you're in your car, how do you not just get excited when Tony Schiavone comes on? Brian, it's funny. He is one of the guys around the station that everybody kind of fanboys more. Jarvis and I have talked about this on the air. We've had him on a couple times when I've filled in and talking about the Gwinnett Braves and stuff like that. And we just laugh because we talk about it. Randy's talked about it with us, too. Everybody fanboys with Tony. You know, and Tony's finally coming around understanding that he is like one of the voices of the youth for so many guys, you know, and he's like one of those guys who's just beloved.
So when I started a couple of years ago, I did that college football show on Thursdays that Tony did with us. They told me, all right, you're going to be doing it with Mark Owens, Randy McMichael, and Tony. They didn't even say his last name. So I go into the meeting, and I'm sitting there, and as soon as he starts talking, and I just look at him, I stop, I'm like, you're Tony Schiavone. You're Tony Schiavone, like, everybody's child. That's my childhood. Like, you're Tony Schiavone. He's just laughing, and, you know, then he drops some colorful language like Tony might do, and it was on from there. He's the best.
Behind the scenes and on his podcast is great. I mean, he just MFs everybody. I mean, it's tremendous. Listen, there's nothing better than getting MF'd by Tony Schiavone. That's what you live for. So it's just great when you hear his voice. So definitely fanboy. All right, we actually do have football today, if you didn't know. The AAF is officially kicking off this weekend. Do we have any coaches left, or is there anybody that's decided? Because Brad Childress isn't here, and now Mike's not here, so they've got somebody that's going to fill in. Kevin Coyle, he's the new head coach. He says he's got 30 years of coaching experience. I've even got the roster. Aaron Murray's going to start today at quarterback. They're taking on Orlando today with Steve Spurrier. Now, part of this is, and Brian will appreciate this, let's face it, this gives people another avenue to bet. These people, because the Atlanta Legends today are a 5.5-point underdog, right? I think is what I saw, 5.5-point underdog. So that's number one. But the question becomes, because did you see Bob Stoops is going to take over the Dallas franchise in the XFL? He's going to coach and run the franchise. Is there a place for the AAF and for the XFL? I think that there is, but I think they have to very, very much lower their expectations. I think they really have to know their place. You know, we were talking wrestling to coming in with Tony. I'm a huge wrestling fan, as you folks know, okay? This new federation that's coming along, this AEW, All Elite Wrestling, that is being backed by the Khan brothers. The one Khan brother owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. His brother is going to be the, money guy for this new AEW. And they just signed Kenny Omega this week, who's a big star over in Japan. People have wanted him in the WWF. Chris Jericho, former star. But they're working on their TV contract. And people are like, oh, could this be the rival to the WWF? No, or WWE, I guess I should say now, they're WWE. The answer to that is no. You will never knock Vince off his throne. And so the AAF and XFL have to understand what their role is and what their place is. They will never substitute anything for the NFL. And my concern is having two leagues, I think, maybe starts to get a bit of oversaturation, because the reality is the XFL's big problem was they had very little quality of play. They had very little quality of play. They did some innovative things. They did some cool things. They did some things that the NFL uses themselves today with the camera up above and different things like that. The ideas were good. The problem is at some point you have to, you know, as we say in the wrestling business, at some point the bell rings. At some point they blow the whistle and you have to play football. And if it looks very substandard and it looks very, like, what do I want to say, rec league-esque, it will turn people off, even if it is on TV. See, I think that the USFL, and I'm actually right in the middle. My dad got me the USFL book for Christmas, and I'm in the middle of reading about the – I'm fascinated by the USFL. I mean, that's one of those, like, sports topics that I love to get into. And had a chance to talk to Pepper Rogers, and actually Brian got us the coach from who was it? South Alabama. Jeff, I forget what his name was, but he played in the XFL. He was with the Atlanta Falcons. He played at the Atlanta Falcons, but he also played in the in the USFL. The USFL really did have a niche and a place in the football landscape. The problem was when Trump decided he wanted to take that league. What was the coach's
Joey
name?
Joey Jones.
Joey Jones. Yes, yes. Problem was when Trump wanted to take that league into the fall and start to compete against the NFL. They were never going to be able to do it, even with all the great players that the USFL had. Go look back at the USFL rosters and think about, you know, Jim Kelly versus Steve Young. you know, and those kinds of matchups. And Reggie White and Herschel, obviously. You know, I'm always fascinated. I would love to sit down with Vince Dooley because supposedly Vince was not in favor of not only Herschel leaving, but also going to the USFL. I would love to sit down with Vince Dooley and talk about – I've never really heard Vince open up about Herschel going to the USFL. But I would love to hear what his thoughts were about that. So they were a renegade league, and they went a different route by trying to take college players and stuff like that. And the XFL and the AAF can't get into that business. You know, as long as they understand their role and they focus on – can the football be entertaining? You know, because that's what it has to be. Yeah, it's cool that Aaron Murray is going to play for a football team in Atlanta, but you know, people thought were hoping the same thing with Tommy Maddox being in the XFL. You know, and Tony Graziani was in the XFL. I think for their few games that they played, but they have to know the role. They can't think of themselves as a substitute. They can't think of themselves as we're going to try to take college players from the NFL and get them to want to come here. You got to at least make the football interesting because it does take for football more than just some gimmicks. I think the XFL proved that before. And I think that the USFL could have had a marketplace because the football was getting better. The football wasn't great, and especially early on, the football wasn't great in the USFL. But the football was getting better, and they were developing stars. Remember, Bobby Hebert wasn't a household name. You know, he wins the Michigan. He won the first USFL Cup, whatever their trophy, their Super Bowl trophy was. They won the championship with him. But nobody knew who Bobby Hebert was. Now, obviously, now we know who Bobby Hebert is and his time with New Orleans and his time with Atlanta.
Michigan Panthers,
yeah. They were the USFL champion. Bobby led them to a title up there. But nobody knew who those guys were. So it was a little different mindset of the league. But, yeah, I think an AAF can find a place to kind of transition that out of off-the-field activity. What the NFL has been so dominant in isn't just it's not just the product on the field. You know, that's for the NFL, it's yes, partly that, but now they've become a 12-month-a-year brand. You have to watch the combine. You have to watch the draft. You have to watch this. You have to watch that. You know, they've made it to where people want to watch the Senior Bowl to see, okay, who is going to the NFL. And that's why the NFL is getting involved in things like the Senior Bowl. The NFL brand outside of just the on-field stuff on a Sunday is where it's at. But if you can get some quality football and give guys a reason to bet, because guys love to bet on football, more than baseball or basketball, betting on football, there's just something about betting on football. And I think some of it is just sometimes the simplicity. I mean, baseball, do you bet on baseball, Brian? I mean, are you baseball better at all?
You have a serious issue if you're betting on baseball during the regular season.
There's a lot
playoffs,
of that. Yeah, there's a lot of that, though. I mean, and to me, the betting on baseball is very convoluted. The understanding the system. Football's easy. I got this many points, and I either got to give them the one team or take them from the other team. You know, it's not that hard of a strategy to figure out. So, you know, am I going to watch the AAF? Probably not. You know, I probably won't sit down. But I'm not as big a fan of the NFL as what I once was, too. You know, Rob Tribble and I have talked about this. I'm not as much of a sit down and watch a bunch of NFL football. You know, playoffs, I'll watch playoffs. Super Bowl, obviously. And I'll watch the Falcons. I'll watch every play of the Atlanta Falcons week in, week out. That's must-watch TV for me. But to sit down and watch the Miami Dolphins and the San Diego Chargers, you know, in a 1 o'clock game, I have no interest in that. I got other things I've got to do with my time. There's other things in my life that you know, take more of a priority. I mean, you know, if I didn't have a responsibility and things like that, yeah, maybe go to a bar and watch it for the activity of everything else. But, you know, the idea of sitting down and watching a bunch of NFL. Now, Saturday college, totally different story. You know, I want to watch Tennessee and Florida go at it. You know, I want to watch Notre Dame and Michigan State or Notre Dame, Michigan whatever. I want to watch that. I'm invested in that. I enjoy the pageantry of college football and watching those games. Not so much in the NFL. So I probably, you know, I'm going to be one of the ones that's really not going to be in tune with what CBS, you know, has going on. I was just reading here. They talk about that the coverage. CBS will broadcast two opening night games. So some people are going to get San Diego and San Antonio, and some are going to get Atlanta and Orlando. CBS Sports Network will televise one game a week. NFL Network will show 19 games, starting with Salt Lake at Arizona in week one, then two games per week following that. TNT will have Salt Lake at Birmingham in week two, and then Bleacher Report Live will stream one game per week over the final 8 weeks of the season. So say what you will about the way that is. That's a lot of coverage for a league, just kind of waltzing on in and saying, here we are, with no track record or anything like that. So that is a big deal. But if the quality of football is substandard, you won't keep people around. Figure out the football aspect of it for now, then you can start to worry about the rest of the league at that point. All right, when we get back, Steve Ashburner from NBA.com going to join us. We'll talk about a lackluster trade deadline, where this Atlanta Hawks team is, and some other stuff around the NBA. Chuck, we're with you in the Kia Studios. We'll be back. Good music theme. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Hawks play.
Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Well, roll my breakfast, because I'm
now can we hear? Hey. But Brian's cutting off my microphone and everything around there. Chuck, we're back in the Kia Studios. Here till 1 o'clock today. NBA trade deadline has come and gone. Of course, All-Star Game still coming up. Plenty of NBA notes and news to go over. So out to the WadeFord.com hotline we go. Joined there by Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. He is on Twitter. You can follow along with him at Ash, A-S-C-H-N-B-A. Steve, thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Steve, give me your thoughts about this Atlanta Hawks squad. Have they been a little bit of an overachiever? Do they look like a team that, you know, has got some good young players that are taking them in a direction? What's your thought about this Atlanta Hawks team thus far?
Yeah, well, am I supposed to look at it in a mirror where good is bad and bad is good? You know, there's this contingent of NBA fans in various cities that root for losing. And, you know, it's a weird phenomenon. The league is trying to address it by flattening the lottery odds and things like that. But it's a habit that has taken hold. And so I know that there are people that are unhappy with the Hawks because they haven't lost enough. So, you know, I happen to like the fact that they've won more than what a tanking team would ordinarily do. And, you know, you got to start somewhere. And to me, Trae Young and John Collins are terrific building blocks. And to artificially, you know, rein them in, hold them back, to me, retards development. I mean, that's the beauty of when you're not going to be a contender or even try to be a contender or chase a playoff spot is you can give these guys, you know, real run and give them an opportunity to learn on the job and make mistakes on the job. I mean, the old thing about making mistakes in the minor leagues, there's no minor leagues really for guys like this who are good enough to come right into the league. If you're a G League guy, that's fine, you know, but if you're, you know, you're going to be in the spotlight on the stage and you need to play, and sometimes you're going to win games because, you know, of the talent that you have. So I think I like that, and I don't want to hear too much, I guess, from the crowd that prefers to play down to the future. You know, I'm based in Chicago, and we're seeing with the Bulls year two of that. 1 year was bad enough, and I got it, all right? But now the lottery odds have been changed. And you put your fan base through this once, and that's enough. So, no, I like, you know, similar with what the Hawks are doing, but, you know, I just don't think you should be competing with the other losers of the league.
Steve Ashburner joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, senior writer for NBA.com. So, you know, some moves at the trade deadline. You know, Anthony Davis obviously not going anywhere, which was a name people wanted to see about whether or not there'd be any activity there. You know, Gasol does move along, but Conley stays in place. Did anybody – do you think Toronto closed the gap? We were just talking about this in the bullpen. Do you think Toronto's move with getting Gasol, has that closed the gap on them being able to overtake a Golden State Warriors for an NBA title, or is this as much about, you know, this puts them as more of a favorite just in the East?
Yeah, that's getting a little too far out, I think, for the Raptors or their fans if they think that way. I think the East has become, you know, extremely dangerous and potent, and you have four teams that can, you know, represent the East when it comes time to face what I still think will be Golden State from the West. And you know, the team that survives, the one thing you got to hope for if you want an entertaining finals and the potential for a new champion is that they don't so beat each other up along the way that they have enough left to go against the defending champs. Yeah, Toronto, that's a great move. That closed the gap, but it kind of closed the gap with the Bucks and the Sixers and the Celtics first. I don't know that Toronto is the favorite in the East. I picked Boston when the season began, not anticipating either some of their problems or some of these moves by the East teams, or even just the unexpected improvement of Milwaukee, which had a disappointing season last season and a brand new coach. So, it's going to be a fascinating East bracket now, which I don't think many of us would have said before the season began. About the only thing we would concede is that LeBron won't be representing the East again, and somebody by default is going to get the opportunity, but it's going to be hard earned. And if it's Toronto, great. I think the move for Gasol, yeah, it was to chase a championship now, because they really need to get to the finals to impress Kawhi Leonard and hope that somehow that would sway him into considering staying. But I think just adding Gasol, regardless of how it pans out, is also a sign to Kawhi Leonard that, you know what, we can get quality teammates around you here in Toronto. It tends to more often be international players, it seems, that are open to the idea of living and playing in Canada than a lot of the U.S.-grown players.
Steve, I'm curious on your thoughts about Anthony Davis. I mean, we know what type of player he is, and you know, what is it? I think he's got 2 years left on a deal with the player option available.
Yes.
Do you think, is there any concern from teams about the idea of having Davis as just a rent-a-player? I mean, is this a situation where both the Pelicans obviously want the house, but you're never going to get that in return? But are teams a little bit worried about just bringing him in as a rent-a-player if he decides he doesn't want to sign long-term with them?
Yeah, that's always a concern. I think what we can look at, and maybe at the risk of overrating it, is what Oklahoma City did to rent Paul George, which turned into a long-term deal. They gave up, you know, two really good players, Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. I think they were well aware of Sabonis' potential, even at, you know, at that point. I don't think they thought Oladipo would rebound and be the player that he's been for the Pacers, at least, you know, until this latest injury shut him down this year. But, I mean, as a team leader, kind of a guy. And then with Leonard going to Toronto, I mean, they gave up, DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl. I mean, they gave up good assets for what everyone still, I think, says is a rental. So there's always teams that are full of themselves and confident enough or arrogant enough to think, we'll win the guy over. We'll win with him, and that will persuade him that this is the best situation for him, particularly since we can probably pay him more than when he hits open free agency. So, yeah, there's that. There are other teams that you know, are scared to death. They don't want to give up assets, and maybe they'll back away. But you'll have more suitors in the summer than you had this week, just because Boston can now get involved, you know, when the next time around, when he's up for trade. The Knicks will have a lottery pick that's locked in, potentially number one. And that might be appealing to New Orleans, looking to sort of reset the clock and have a franchise type of player, say a Zion Williamson, on a rookie scale contract. So, you know, that's a better market for the Pelicans than this one, where it seemed like LeBron and his agent Rich Paul and the Lakers in general were trying to pressure GM Del Demps and owner Gail Benson into a move just for public relations purposes, or some ominous, well, you don't know what you're going to have with Anthony Davis if you keep him around New Orleans and he's not happy. You know, that's a little bit like the old time, you know, Chicago mob back in Prohibition. You know, we're gonna offer you protection money or something. You know, it's just a weird dynamic, and I don't blame the Pelicans. In fact, I'm kind of glad the Pelicans did not succumb to that and make, you know, they make the Lakers wait, maybe make them sweat a little bit. That's not something they're used to doing, and I think it's a healthier NBA for it.
Check him out on Twitter at Ash NBA, ASCHNBA, senior writer for NBA.com, Steve Ashburner. Steve, appreciate time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on and spending a few minutes in Atlanta today.
Okay, John, thanks.
You got it. There you go. A little NBA talk for you there. When we get back, of course, it will be time for our music theme of the day. So we will get to all of that next. Chuck, we're here hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Chuck, we're back in the Kia Studios till 1 o'clock. Always a music theme on the show. This is one of my absolute favorite movie themes of all time. So today on the music theme, today is a very historic day in both music and television. Brian probably doesn't understand this first one. Today is the day that the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And by estimates, Brian, think about this, back in 1964, 73 million people watched the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. They did five songs, All My Lovin', She Loves You, I Saw Her Standing There, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Until There Was You. So Brian's going to try to find those, because it's not easy to find Beatles online. But yeah, today's the day the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show, one of the most famous TV shows still to this day ever. And I believe I'm right on this. Sprayberry High School's own Travis Tritt, born today in 1963. So, you know, on this show, we like to do a little T-R-O-U-B-L-E. So we'll hear some Travis Tritt. Bill Haley, one of the fathers of rock and roll, died today in 1981. His song, Rock Around the Clock, is considered the first rock and roll song and is kind of the what people consider to be the start of the rock and roll era. One of the great songwriters of all time, Carole King, born today in 1942. So a very folksy musical selection there. Brian Connolly, the guy who was the lead singer of Sweet. Have to go back to the 70s to remember Little Willie and Fox on the Run and all that good stuff. Died today in 1997. And one birthday from yesterday that we're incorporating today. As you're listening to the Superman theme, you heard Jaws on the way out. Probably the greatest music composer of all time, John Williams. And you'll be amazed that you heard the Sunday Night Football theme that he's done. The TV shows, the movies. He's the most iconic. You talk about some of the greatest movie themes of all time. And especially a lot of stuff with Spielberg. John Williams is the guy who did it. Of course, Star Wars is John Williams. Superman, Indiana Jones, Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park, even some of the TV shows, and even some news and sports as well. So, see, this kind of stuff, I love this kind of stuff. I could just listen to tons of this kind of stuff. So, and this is truly one of my favorite movie themes of all time. So when we get back, an ESPN writer says baseball free agency is broken.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.